The expression stranger in a strange land comes from the book of Exodus in the Bible, as you just heard a minute ago. After Moses flees from Egypt because he's gotten into trouble for killing an Egyptian foreman who is beating a Hebrew slave, he goes to the land of Midian, where he befriends the daughters of a man who lets him marry the eldest, named Zipporah. Zipporah bears him his first son, whom Moses names Gershom. Ger is the Hebrew word for stranger or exile, because he says, I have been a stranger in a strange land. Ger can also be translated as foreigner, or one might even say immigrant. So that's where the phrase stranger in a strange land comes from originally, but it was also the title of a popular sci-fi novel by Robert Heinlein in 1961, which, did anyone read that book? Okay, a number of you have, all right. It tells the story of a human being raised on Mars by Martians who, when he comes back to Earth as a young adult, tries to come to terms with human culture as an outsider, really, and he ends up actually changing human culture as a result. It won't surprise some of you who have heard me before when I tell you that I myself come from another planet. Or at least I've always felt that I did. When I was a child, I knew from fairly early on that I wasn't like most other boys. I wasn't good in sports, not for lack of trying. I practiced throwing baseballs and attempting to catch them. I rehearsed swinging a bat and tossing a football and making a basket. I just never got very good at any of these things. While the other boys enjoyed building forts and playing cowboys and Indians, I liked playing house with my sister and making paper doll outfits. And I remember getting a free ticket to a baseball game once and really wanting to enjoy it like everyone else did, but not getting it. I just wasn't an all-American boy. And believe me, I would have changed my life if I could. I so wanted to fit in with other kids. I so hated being called a sissy and a crybaby. I wanted to be like everyone else. In fact, I even remember one time I was crying and someone said, "Why are you crying?" And I said, "Because someone called me a crybaby." Well, think about it. Anyway, so why did I have to be from this other planet where all the things that were normal for other kids seemed so unnatural for me? I understand, of course, that every kid wants to fit in. Probably most adults do too, if we're honest about it. But knowing that, then and now, never changed the fact that it hurt, and still hurts at times. When I got to high school and college, though, the rules began to change. Suddenly, being a jock wasn't so important. Being a good student was. It even made me more popular because other students wanted to study with me so they could do well. That was pretty cool. However, that bit of nirvana was short-lived because it was in college that I learned that I was gay. Oh, great, I thought. And I was just starting to fit in. Now I have to be from another planet again. When will I ever be normal? Answer, never. When I became a minister, I was fairly worried about this, not just because I wasn't sure how people in my church would accept me, but because I wasn't sure how much help I could be to others if my life was so different from theirs. Would any straight couples want to talk to me about their relationship? Would any parent want to speak to someone who would probably never have kids of his own? What could I, who felt myself to be a stranger in a strange land, offer to normal people? I was from another world, barely speaking the language or understanding the culture. But an interesting thing began happening. Some people started coming to me for counseling because I wasn't normal. One person told me, "I haven't been able to talk to anyone about my sadomasochistic fantasies, but I figured you'd understand." Well, I didn't really, but I did understand what it meant to be different, and that turned out to be good enough. Another person said, "I struggle with alcoholism and bulimia, and I'm too ashamed to talk to anyone else, but I figured that being gay, you wouldn't be judgmental because you've got your own issues." And then she said, as an afterthought, I hope that doesn't offend you. And I thought about it, and I realized I wasn't offended. She was right. We both had our issues. We all have our ways that we don't fit in a society at large. And recognizing that each of us is a minority in some way actually gives us something in common. So that was one gift of being a stranger to this world. I found it helped me minister to other people who also felt like strangers, even though their version of strangeness might be different from mine. There was an article in Newsweek some years ago, looks like it's 2005, by Kathy Gendel, and it was a column entitled My Turn. Newsweek sometimes had that. And it was from an American woman who had lived in Japan for 5 years and experienced what it was like to be from another world. Because she was a foreign woman and with light hair, she stood out, of course. But the fact that she was 5'10" made it even worse. She said, I hit my head on the overhanging subway straps. I often had to stoop to enter doorways or look into mirrors positioned for shorter people. Sitting at the low tables in coffee shops, I was unable to cross my legs without knocking over the water glasses and the coffee cups. She saw children and women and children giving her sidelong looks and then giggling. She heard men saying to each other, Seiga takai ne, Japanese for she's really tall. And even when a clerk or train conductor understood her Japanese, they would often pretend that they didn't. In Japanese, she says, the word for different, chigao, is also the word for wrong. I felt all wrong in Japan, but I did my best to fit in. It wasn't until my husband's assignment ended and we were transferred to Los Angeles that I realized how constraining Tokyo had been for me. My experience in Japan gave me the chance to walk the proverbial mile in another person's shoes. And she says, I know what it's like to be stared at in the subway or laughed at in a sushi bar or ignored because my syntax isn't perfect. Now that I do, I am much more ready to accept others who may be different, but not necessarily wrong. This is one of the gifts of not fitting in. It will not always seem worth the cost, but it is a gift if you are willing to see it as such. But there's another gift that comes from being different that I eventually discovered and which you may have discovered as well. And this is my ability to see this world, the world that so many others live in, from an angle that some of those in that world are not always able to see. For example, when the women's movement began talking about male and female roles and relationships, I realized I didn't fit either camp completely, all that neatly anyway. I had some of the same complaints about a lot of men that women had, but I had an understanding of men too because I was kind of one myself. So when I heard women describe their frustration with men who were insensitive or didn't communicate, I'd say, I know what you mean. It's like pulling teeth to get a lot of men to admit their vulnerabilities. And when you talk to them about a problem you have, they almost always immediately jump into rescue mode and give you a solution when they haven't even heard what the problem is. And sometimes you're not even asking for a solution. You just want someone to listen to you. But then I'd hear men describe their frustrations with women. That is when I could get men to talk. And they'd tell me, she wants to talk everything to death. The solution can be right in front of her, but she'd rather talk about feelings going back 30 years than solve any problems today. And then when she asks me, what should I do? And I tell her, she gets mad. Why'd she ask me if she didn't want me to tell her? And I'd say, I know. And it's one thing when they want to talk about everything ad nauseum, but then if you would rather process your thoughts and feelings inside rather than spilling them all out, they won't let you. They'll pester you with comments like, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? Let your emotions out. It'll be good for you. Talk to me. And then when I think about it on my own, I've realized that one of the reasons I could see both elements elements of both sides was that I wasn't fully a part of either world. But that alien insight or that alien status gave me some certain insights. Sometimes not fitting in is a bit of a blessing because it helps you see from far enough away to see a picture that those too close cannot comprehend. Many of the original peoples on this continent understood this, by the way. Before the Europeans came here with their religion and culture, many Native American tribes were far more accepting of things like cross-dressing, gender fluidity, and homosexuality, and also even mental illness. Rather than condemning or shunning people who were different, they tended to make them shamans. They said, if you hear voices we don't hear, maybe that's because you're in touch with the gods. And if you have elements of male and female within your person, maybe that's because you're specially blessed. I've often thought it would be interesting if instead of looking at people who are different as aberrations, our society saw them as repositories of some unique wisdom. How might we fare as a society, as individuals, even as a species, if we welcomed difference and saw those who don't fit in so well, not as unwelcome guests or intruders in our world, but as surprisingly interesting guests? Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, says the New Testament, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Wow. Think of the implications. There's a book called Common Fire, Leading Lives of Community in a Complex World, and it suggests that not fitting in is actually a component of leadership. The authors interviewed 100 movers and shakers and found that the common thread in all their lives was this experience of being an outsider, or what they call marginality. Even when it carries a price, they say, marginality can bear certain gifts: greater self-knowledge, greater awareness of others, and a kind of comfort with life at the edge. The central gift of marginality, however, they say, is its power to promote both empathy with the other and a critical perspective on one's own tribe. Marginality makes it possible to hold several different perspectives and so gain a more complex and sensitive way of seeing, unavailable to those with only one point of view. And when you think about it, aren't most leaders and heroes misfits of some kind? Look at the legend of Moses, who scripture says originated the expression stranger in a strange land. Here he is. He's a Hebrew raised in the Pharaoh's house. He doesn't quite fit the Egyptian world. He looks different from his adopted family. He doesn't fit in the Hebrew world. He knows nothing of their culture and religion. Yet despite that, or I would say maybe because of that, he is able to lead the slaves to freedom and becomes the foremost hero of the Jewish people. And we see this in other stories all over the world. Even Superman and Supergirl, they're literally from another world. And it is that fact which makes it possible for them to save our world. What Moses' story tells us, and the story of the Lone Ranger, Harry Potter, Spider-Man, Wonder Woman, and similar stories in other cultures, is that people in societies all over the world have somehow always recognized that there is a saving power in beings who seem to come from another planet, people who live in the world but are not exactly of it. What brought this to me recently was an interview with Yo-Yo Ma in the September 24th issue of Time magazine. I found it especially interesting in the light of the debate in the United States over immigration. Yo-Yo Ma was asked, does being an immigrant influence your music? And he said, yes. What the immigrant perspective means is you know at least two places very well, which means you can actually put two places in your head at the same time. That's what builds imagination. I need only point out that Google and Appleby have co-founders that are either immigrants or first generation. That immigrant imagination allows them to see further into possibilities that don't really exist yet. Somehow, some way, people who come from a different world seem to have something to contribute to the world they don't completely fit into. And you know what? That includes every one of you. Each of you, I suspect, each of you has had the experience of not fitting in, of being an outsider. Each of you is weird. The ways you are weird will be different from other people's. But trust me, you too are from another planet. Perhaps you are of a different race or color than the majority. Perhaps you are married to someone who is, or you have children or grandchildren who are. Maybe you grew up with two moms or two dads or single parents or grandparents, or you don't identify with the gender you were assigned at birth. Maybe you have a physical disability, or you live with depression or bipolar disorder or schizophrenia. Maybe you struggle with an alcohol or drug addiction, or live with attention deficit disorder or autism. Or you are close to someone who lives with one or more of these things. Maybe it's your religious beliefs, or lack thereof, that puts you out of the mainstream. But trust me, every one of you here has experienced the loneliness of being different, of not fitting in. And I want to say to you, there is a gift in that experience. Sure, it's lonely, it's discouraging. And sometimes you probably felt so forsaken and abandoned, so rejected and unloved, you couldn't possibly see an upside. But there is one. There's a strength and independence that comes from standing out from the crowd. There's an empathy and compassion that you'll come to inherit in no other way than in not fitting in yourself. Incidentally, this experience of being an outsider is one of the most consistent traits you will find across Unitarian Universalism as a whole. People who come from our church, come to our churches often say, and I've heard this too many times to count, I felt like an alien all my life. I thought something was wrong with me because I didn't experience the world around me like those around me did. We may differ in what we believe about theology or how we vote at election time, but Unitarian Universalists generally have this in common, that in some significant way or ways, we are not of this world. That's probably true of everyone on earth, but I think it's especially true of us. And the fact that you're an outsider in one world, of course, doesn't mean you can't be an insider in another. For example, many of us who are politically liberal sometimes feel like outsiders in the country at large, yet those in this congregation who are to the right of center may feel like outsiders in this congregation. It is my hope that regardless of which worlds we fit in and which we do not, all of us will be open to the challenge and insight that visitors to our comfort zone have to offer. I read an interesting example of something like this happening from a colleague of mine, the Reverend Judith Walker Riggs. She tells about a UU summer camp one August years ago when the United States Navy was delivering a Trident nuclear submarine to a base near the UU conference site. They were delivering it on the anniversary of the bombing of Nagasaki. So it was quite emotional for a lot of people. Now, a number of these Unitarian Universalists decided to join a local protest that was going to happen on the banks of the canal where the Trident was to be delivered. They were going to join a silent vigil there to protest the nuclear arms race. But there were other UUs at the conference who believed the Trident submarine was actually an important way to preserve an uneasy peace with the Soviet Union. These UUs did not plan to go to the vigil. Everyone talked about their differing views over lunch that day, but no one actually yelled over the differences, the disagreements. No one said, you're evil, or you're stupid, or you're not a real UU if you don't agree with me. The day of the vigil, it rained and it was cold. And when the UUs who had gone to it came back, they were wet and quivering a bit from the cold. But do you know what the UUs who hadn't gone to the protest, the ones who supported the Trident, did? They gathered together on the porch, waiting for their fellow UUs to return, and they made hot chocolate and cookies, which they gave to their friends when they returned, as well as hugs, and questions about how it had gone and how they were doing. You know, we UUs don't always get it right. We who have felt often estranged from the world sometimes forget that experience, and we may be too willing to do to others what we wish had not been done to us. But sometimes we get it right, as at that summer conference, and we let our pain and our fear and our disconnection with the world around us move us to participate in the creation of a new world, A new world made tender by our pain and hopeful from our fear. A kingdom not of this world.